This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first formal vote on an impeachment investigation in the U.S. House is going to happen shortly on Capitol Hill as the U.S. House Rules Committee did pass a resolution late last night that includes the establishment of procedures for the investigation, including public hearings. Republicans offered up a slew of amendments. Democrats shot most of them down. Wildfires are still scorching California, north and south. In Northern California, the Kincade Fire is finally about 45% contained. Cal Fire spokesman Tom Porter says it is still just only a wake-up call to just how bad this fire season's probably going to be.
We've had a long and slow season thus far before all of this, and this has been kind of the point at which we've really turned on our season.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build a wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
More on the Democratic-led House impeachment inquiry resolution that's to see action in a little while on Capitol Hill. White House advisor Kellyanne Conway, the latest administration member to weigh in on this action by Democrats.
Why not just afford the president and other witnesses the due process protections from the beginning?
A general says the U.S. is on alert for retribution attacks after the raid and the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi over the weekend in Syria. General Frank McKenzie says it would be a mistake to conclude that ISIS has been defeated. First-time jobless claims are on the rise week to week. They hit about 218,000 last week, 5,000 more than the previous week. For the first time in franchise history, the Washington Nationals are World Series champions, with last night's win over the Astros in Houston in Game 7. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
South Bend's Mayor Pete Buttigieg, or Mayor Pete as he's become known, is the first major presidential contender to file paperwork for next year's New Hampshire primary. Afterwards, he said some voters may want the furthest left candidate, and some may want the most experienced candidate.
But for everyone else, I just might be your candidate, and I think that's most Democratic voters this year.
A new study says people who are usually running late are also probably happier. Researchers at Harvard Medical School have discovered that people who are running late all the time are often operating with a sense of calm that could be adding years to their lives. The study also found that optimism appears to protect the heart and circulation and can lower your rate of death. The Pentagon's released the name of a soldier who died in Iraq over the weekend. Sergeant Nathaniel Irish died Sunday from a non-combat-related incident. The 23-year-old from Montana was assigned to the 1st Striker Brigade combat team in Alaska. Officials say the soldier's death remains under investigation. CEO Jack Dorsey says Twitter will no longer accept political ads. The ban will take effect next month. Dorsey tweeting the news saying that political ads can influence votes that affect the lives of millions. We've got stuff on the radio and stuff online. Check us out at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I think it was going to be easy, did you? I mean, look, we've been dealing with this mess for a long time. I mean, this is why we have Donald Trump in office right now, ladies and gentlemen, because we said enough is enough, having the traditional Beltway acolytes come in and, you know, try and have them fix the problem when, you know, they're all part of the problem, is what Ronald Reagan said. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do brain surgery on yourself. And I guess that's what we expect if we hire people within the Beltway to fix the problem that they created. But they will tell us, oh, they know Hillary Clinton. I mean, go right on down the line. They all know the problem. Well, you know, they were there and have been there for 30 years. Why didn't they fix it then? What all of a sudden gives you some sense of encouragement or confidence that they're really serious about taking care of business, especially when you see all these shenanigans that have been going on? You know, people getting paid under the table, maybe over the table, somehow finding ways to bring their family in so the family members are paid, because it's not them. You know, they're not exactly getting the money. It's the family members. And I guess that's kind of okay, because it's not specifically illegal. Don't you love the way our government works? I mean, things that obviously should be illegal somehow or not, and then they say, well, it's not illegal. Well, you know, it might be, is it an ethical issue? Is it a moral issue? But it's not illegal. And, you know, and then you dance that dance. And meanwhile, everyday Americans are sitting there going, wait a minute, you're taking advantage of your position. You are bilking the American people, and you're robbing the system, basically. You're diverting funds that somehow you draw benefit because you're not getting paid enough already. And then you wonder why people who go in to serve our country go in as, you know, people being able to, you know, grind it out. And by grind it, I mean, you know, they're not necessarily wealthy. Some cases, uniquely so. But for the most part, you know, you got people who, you know, grind it out like the rest of us. But then they find a way within the government process to become very wealthy. And they end up leaving, especially if they make careers out of it, gazillionaires. I mean, so what's wrong with this picture? I mean, on the surface, you know, you say, well, it's not exactly illegal. Is it moral? Is it ethical? And then we're back to that circling conversation one more time, right? And we're going to talk about body-worn cameras. People have asked this question. How are body-worn cameras affecting police behavior and community relations across the country? Well, a nonprofit urban institute is offering key findings from their report on body-worn camera programs. And with us to talk about is Bryce Peterson. He's a senior research associate at the Urban Institute. Bryce, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on to talk about this, because, I mean, how long have body-worn cameras been operational?
Well, across the country, really over about a decade, maybe a little bit less, is when they first started becoming operational in the United States.
And now to what degree?
So almost every major police department either has body cameras, has at least a pilot program with their officers, or is in the process of acquiring them, and many, many small and medium-sized departments as well.
So initially, when the idea of body-worn cameras came into play, this was something that was pretty much accepted by the community and law enforcement to say, look, maybe we need to have, you know, some accountability and documentation because we get into a lot of conversation and debate over what happened, right?
Yeah, well, certainly in the beginning, it was really pushed by the community and community members, community advocate groups, and those kinds of people. But there's actually quite a bit of pushback from law enforcement communities, especially administrators of law enforcement, like police chiefs, as well as the unions, because they were concerned about officers' privacy and this being used as a tool to simply go against officers and try to, you know, kind of like a Big Brother situation for officers where everything they're doing is being scrutinized. And that's shifted much more recently. As officers have become more comfortable with the technology and are seeing that there's actually value to them to document what they're doing and to basically document that in general what they're doing is following their rules and following their regulations around use of force and interactions. So it's shifted a little bit in recent years.
Well, Bryce, you could appreciate their position because, like anything, when you introduce a system like this, it's like, okay, who's going to judge it? What is the process going to look like? And you don't know until you get into it. Undoubtedly, you're going to make some mistakes along the way. And 10 years down the road, it seems like, you know, we're starting to get the system down a little bit and the proper analysis is taking place. Because, as you know, when the general public looks at video evidence, I mean, we can have 50 people in the room looking at this video evidence, and we'll have 50 different scenarios. But if you have, in a sense, a jury of the peers, other law enforcement individuals looking at it, who understand the training of the officers and everything goes into it, they look at it yet quite a bit different than the general public. Is that fair to say?
I mean, certainly I think it's fair to say that over time we're starting to understand the best ways to implement the technology, the policies and the laws that need to change in order for it to be used most effectively in a way that is as beneficial as possible to both the officers and to the community. I think it's right to say that as programs are being developed and matured, we're starting to see best practices emerge.
Yes, and I think that's what this is all about, that it is a process. It's not necessarily an exact science, because after all, we're talking about humanity here, and we're talking about decisions that have to be made by police officers, in fractions of seconds, do we not?
Yeah, it's a difficult job, no doubt. So officers, like I said, there's new ways that they're trying to equip or modify body cameras in order to help officers make these decisions. So for one of the biggest complaints is that in very intense situations, officers aren't going to have the time, nor should they have the time to stop, pause, and turn on their body camera to make sure that the event is being recorded, which is why we've seen so many high-profile incidents where maybe there wasn't a recording of it, even though an officer was equipped with a body camera. And right. What they're doing now is there's vendors that are creating technologies that allow body cameras to turn on automatically in those situations. Mm-hmm. So, for example, anytime an officer turns on their lights in their patrol car, their body camera will turn on. Anytime they unholster any kind of weapon,
exactly.
Body camera will turn on. Mm-hmm. So there are some ways that the field is trying to keep up.
Well, bottom line here, do body-worn cameras, are they working in terms of reducing the rate of officers who receive citizen complaints on the surface? Let's deal with it one point at a time.
Sure. So with citizen complaints, by and large, most studies are showing that they are being reduced as a result of body cameras. So in other words, officers who wear body cameras tend to have fewer complaints against them than officers without body cameras. And the reasons for that are mixed, but that's generally what the research is showing.
Mm-hmm. So are they saying that, you know, as you say, they are mixed. So you get the perception from the officer's point of view that maybe they're more cautious to behave themselves, possibly. And also maybe from, the individual's point of view, in terms of knowing that this is all being recorded. So maybe they need to behave themselves as well.
Yeah, there's really two competing theories about what's going on here. One is that it's called a civilizing effect, which is exactly what you just described. People are going to behave themselves better during these interactions. The other side of it is depending on how departmental policy works, if a citizen goes into a to lodge a complaint against an officer and they're told at that time that the officer was wearing a body camera, and they're concerned that maybe their memory doesn't match up exactly with what happened, and there's many places where if you knowingly lodge a false complaint against an officer, you can be charged with a crime.
Bryce, we've got to go to break. We're going to pick it up from there when we come back. More from Bryce Peterson after this.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you prepared for the upcoming season? Get immune support you can really count on. Quantum Nutrition Labs has three key players for optimal immune support on special. One-of-a-kind, all-natural, vegan vitamin D3 and K2. Garlic Complex with its high, concentrated amounts of allicin. And all-natural, plant-sourced vitamin C. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. 588-7578, or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of the Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise: nutrition that really works.
With you.
possible. I'm telling you, you got to think about that. I'm going to let you do that, all right? 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. Great to have you along with us as we continue our conversation with Bryce Peterson. And the question is, how are body-worn cameras affecting police behavior and community relations across the country? The nonprofit Urban Institute is offering key findings from their report on body-worn camera programs. Bryce, I want to pick up the questioning where we left off, and you know, we talked about the effect that body-worn cameras is having on the police as well as civilians. I mean, it's kind of holding them in check. So things that I think that we initially had posited in terms of what the benefit of body-worn cameras would do, it's starting to be realized 10 years down the road. Now, let me ask you about the impact that it's had on the number of arrests that are made.
So in the research we've done and in many other studies across the country, body cameras don't have an impact on how many arrests officers conduct. They have an impact on the types of proactive activities, which is kind of a different measure. But in terms of arrests, we really haven't seen a difference between officers who have cameras and those who don't.
Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is that I guess you could say to some sort of assumption, as much as we hate that word, but or at least draw some inference on this, is that, you know, bad behavior is still going to get you arrested. And, you know, whether or not you have the a body camera or not, did the body worn cameras change the amount of traffic stops that officers performed?
In our research, no, we didn't see a reduction in traffic stops. What we did see a reduction in was subject stops, which is basically an officer pulling someone over on the street, doing a stop and frisk or some other sort of search or questioning procedure while someone's in the street. So we saw a reduction in subject stops, but we saw an increase in another measure called park and walks, which is kind of like a community policing activity.
Mm-hmm. So what can we draw from that? Is it
What we found?
Go ahead.
So the way we're interpreting the data is that officers seem to be pulling back on or at least reducing those types of interactions that are really highly discretionary and have the most potential to lead to kind of negative interactions with community members.
Mm-hmm.
So again, a subject stop oftentimes is maybe someone looking suspicious or walking around in a neighborhood, maybe matching the description of someone else, but like a loose match. And so we see them pulling back a little bit on those, but increasing the behaviors. Like, so a park and walk is an officer who's walking around a community, maybe saying hi to folks, really having mostly positive interactions. And mm-hmm. we see them increasing those activities, but pulling back on the ones that are potentially volatile.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Was my next question is in terms of positive interaction, and you're saying that we're seeing an increase in that kind of activity.
Yeah, that's what we're finding. We're seeing that the overall makeup, so proactive activity is a measure of how officers spend their time when not responding to a call for service, so when they have free time. And what we're seeing is that overall, they're still engaging in the same number of proactive activities, which makes sense because they only have a certain amount of free time, mm-hmm. but that the makeup of those activities are changing. They're spending more time in these positive community-oriented interactions and less time on these more volatile interactions.
Mm-hmm. What about the number of officers involved in use of force? What is the research telling us here?
So the research is fairly mixed on this. Many of the early studies, so I mentioned that body cameras came out about a decade ago. So early studies, there's one done in Rialto, California, showed very large reductions in use of force. But what we found and what many other more recent studies are finding is that there's no impact of body cameras on use of force. So mm-hmm. it stays the same.
So 10 years down the road, what is the attitude of law enforcement on body-worn cameras?
I think at this point it's seen as a necessary policing tool. So we did interviews with officers. We've talked to many, many officers in the research that we've done, which was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And some of my colleagues have done research in other places too. And by and large, they all want the cameras. Now that they have them, they don't want to give them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, like we said, this was going to be a bit of a process, and we've got 10 years worth of data. And, you know, for those officers that, you know, are there, yes, it holds them into account, but it's like you've got a witness with you as you're, you know, conducting, you know, law enforcement activities.
Yeah, And I think the reality of our world, not just for police officers, but for everybody, is everything's on camera now anyway.
Exactly.
I've heard many officers say, every stop I'm at anyway, someone's pulling out a cell phone and recording me. So at least this way I have my own documented video evidence of what's happening that's from my point of view that I know is not going to be doctored. So it provides them their own account of what's happening.
Well, in case in point, I mean, we have read those stories where, you know, you have a civilian with their version of a video that you look at, and you say, wow, this is this is quite indicting. And then you have the body-worn camera that comes in, you know, to give you a different perspective and gives you a better understanding of what actually happened. And this has been the case, has it not?
Yeah, it's definitely been that way. It's been the other way, too. So, you know, either way, what we're seeing is that body cameras offer an additional, so they're not a panacea, obviously, for this issue, but they offer an additional tool and an additional account of that kind of police-citizen interaction. And just, you know, more evidence is usually a good thing.
Overall, what did you perceive in terms of, speaking of the citizens and community members, how do they feel about body-worn cameras?
So we surveyed community members in the city that we worked in, which is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again. And there's been national studies and other local studies done across the country. And every study has shown very large support for body cameras from community members. It's gone down a little bit over the years, I think, as body cameras haven't fulfilled every promise that they've made. But there's still very strong support from community members. And it's mixed, of course, by groups. So black residents are less supportive overall of body cameras, and that's due to their skepticism overall of policing. But in general, even all community groups are more likely than not to be supportive of the program.
Well, we're talking with Bryce Peterson, Senior Research Associate at the Urban Institute, about how body-worn cameras are affecting police behavior and what we're finding out, not only police, but civilians as well. Body-worn cameras had no impact on the amount of arrests performed. Body-worn cameras had no impact on the amount of traffic stops that officers performed. This is in a general research finding here. And officers with a body-worn camera performed approximately 8% fewer subject stops than officers without a camera. Body-worn cameras also resulted in a 51% reduction in the number of officers who received a citizen complaint, though this difference only approached statistical significance. That is a huge reduction right there, is it not, Bryce?
It is, yeah. And again, that's one of the findings that's been pretty consistent. There was one study in D.C. that found no impact on complaints. But in general, that's a pretty consistent finding across the literature, is that there's a reduction in complaints when body cameras are used.
And then also we found that virtually no impact on the number of officers who were involved in use of force incident.
That's correct.
So that basically tell you, I mean, the officers got to do what they have to do at the end of the day, and their instincts take over, their training takes over, and they know they're going to be held into account. So, you know, they have to go by the book, right?
Yeah, that's what we hypothesize, and I guess what most people think is happening here is that if a police department has a use of force policy and officers are already following that policy and procedures when they're engaging with citizens, then simply adding a body camera to the equation is not going to reduce use of force.
Right.
And so in Milwaukee, where we did our study, that's what we found to be true.
Well, Bryce Peterson, Senior Research Associate in the Justice Police Center, or I should say Policy Center, at the Urban Institute, has been with us. Any other takeaways that we should be aware of? We've got about 30 seconds left here, Bryce.
No, I would just end by saying that body cameras are just a tool, so don't think that they're going to be the fix-all for everything, but they can certainly, if used correctly, improve transparency and accountability and be one tool to help solve police-community relations.
Well, and after 10 years, I guess you could almost summarize that it's been win-win for the police as well as the citizens. Bryce, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you get a flu shot last year? If you answered no, you don't have an excuse this year. You can get a shot at your closest VA center on your next visit for free. But what if you don't have a visit planned in the near future? Don't have a visit planned? Here's an alternative. Here's your veterans tip of the day. The Veterans Administration and Walgreens have teamed up to make flu shots more accessible and free to veterans. They have made it very easy for you to get this protection. Protecting yourself is a good idea. idea. Getting a flu shot at the VA or consider going to a local Walgreens, both are free. Just go to your local Walgreens, no appointment necessary, show your ID card, and get your flu shot for free. Protecting yourself, get a flu shot. Last year, over 80,000 people in America died from the flu. The life you save just might be your own. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. I'm Dan Perkins.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first formal vote on an impeachment investigation in the U.S. House is going to happen shortly on Capitol Hill, as the U.S. House Rules Committee did pass a resolution late last night that includes the establishment of procedures for the investigation, including public hearings. Republicans offered up a slew of amendments. Democrats shot most of them down. Wildfires are still scorching California north and south. In Northern California, the Kincade Fire is finally about 45% contained. Cal Fire spokesman Tom Porter says it is still just only a wake-up call to just how bad this fire season's probably going to be.
We've had a long and slow season thus far before all of this, and this has been kind of the point at which we've really turned on our season.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez Live.
This is your time, your soul. The fight, your soul. You've come so far, keep going.
You know, I think it's what we all want. We all want to come back, another do-over, huh? A start-over opportunity. And, hey, this is your comeback at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you, fighting the good fight to get this country back on track, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. Our next guest is pretty much, I would say, simpatico to that end. Michael H. Brown is author and founder of the website SpiritDaily.com. Grew up in Niagara Falls, New York, attended Fordham University upon graduation. Began work as an upstate New York investigative reporter who broke the Love Canal toxic waste story that garnered him 3 Pulitzer Prize nominations, an award from the EPA, and resulted in an assignment to write a Random House book, The Poisoning of America by Toxic Chemicals, that resulted in hundreds of interviews and college lectures in the 80s. While writing a book about the mafia, Michael Brown had a powerful conversion back to Catholicism, described in his book, Prayer of the Warrior. He's got a brand new book out titled Lying Wonders, The Strangest Things, and we're going to be talking with Michael all about that. Michael, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Bill, thanks for having me.
Wow, good to have you back. I mean, it's been a long time since we've talked. I remember the conversation we had about the Love Canal and all your investigative reporting there, and what you and your wife have been engaged in with Spirit Daily. Give us an update.
Well, you know, we're at 19 years now, and it was dedicated on a feast of the Archangel Michael. And, you know, every day, 7 days a week, we have spiritual news from around the world, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, secular, signs of the times, mysticism, apparitions, miracles, and yeah, we're still plugging away, like on a regular basis, that's for sure.
Well, Michael, you know, it was interesting. I was watching, it's a wonder how ignorant people choose to be about the spirit world. And there was a conversation on one of the TV channels, and the people were bloviating, and I will say it as that, because they seem to be so disconnected from the reality of the spirit realm. So I'm sure if you'd have seen it, you probably would have, on one hand, chuckled as I did, and then on the other hand, pray for them, because you go, wow, we're told clearly that there is a spirit world. We choose to ignore it, and meanwhile, they're just having fun with us.
It's all around us. I mean, right now, everyone in New York City, for instance, they'll have that Halloween parade that has all kinds of demonic figures in it and lewdness and so forth. People are blind to what they're actually doing. They're blind to the spirit behind today. I mean, mm-hmm. We have a story on Spirit Daily this morning that has to do with a former satanic priest saying, hey, you know, this isn't just fun and games. Don't celebrate it. Right. There is we did rituals on these days. People channel demons and they cast spells and curses. So, yeah, there's a lot of spiritual blindness out there, Bill. That's for certain. But the spiritual reality surrounds all of us all the time.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think the reason the conversation came up on this particular show was, what was it, the anniversary of the Ouija board, and, you know, even when they were talking about it, it was interesting. They denied the spirit world, but yet it said, that they even to this day were kind of freaked out by it. They just didn't want to mess with it. So, you know, I think that there is some common sense when you get into those arenas or zip codes of where the spirit world starts to reveal itself, or maybe you begin to connect and realize, and because you don't want to talk about it and you freak out, you just deny it.
That's right. I mean, people are afraid to confront it. They don't want to know anything about it. They'd rather just look at things as all of this world. But we go on forever, and the spiritual dimension to our existence is far more important than what we can hear and see right now. So there are many dimensions out there, and right. That's one of the reasons I wrote this book, to show how many extraordinary things are going on out there.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Bible is clear that our battle is not against flesh and blood, that we deal with the demons of the dark world, that it is a spiritual battle, which you had suggested earlier, and we have each age introduces a particular spirit. For example, I have been saying for quite a while that we are confronted with a spirit of invalidation. That seems to be, you know, we call it the cancel culture. But at every turn, I mean, when you listen to people talk, they're quick to squash speech and, you know, kick people out of the club and invalidate their perspective. And I believe that's a very dangerous position, you know, for the rest of us to be in when we're not all talking about things.
That's right. And when one recognizes the existence of real evil, and the word evil is the word live spelled backwards, we look at the repercussions of that. When people don't want to recognize that, then they fall into all kinds of traps and snares, and they go off and support things like, in my, you know, abortion.
Right.
And genetic manipulation and transgenderism and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, devil's very deceiving, very, very clever, and he's having a field day right now.
Right, even things in our government, I mean, things that are wrong. I mean, morally, we would not teach our kids to do the kind of things in government that are on display, but yet you have that rationale that says, well, it's not exactly illegal, morally questionable, maybe ethically, we might be cutting the edge here. For example, Congress for many years, only until recently, was very receptive to the idea of insider trading. This is how a lot of congressmen and women and senators made a lot of money, and why so often you hear the stories where they go in to take office and they're barely able to, you know, rub two pennies together, but yet, you know, 15, 20 years later, they're multi-gazillionaires. How does that happen?
Well, you know, it's nearly like during the 1960s, the devil started a series of rituals. You know, if you have a satanic ritual, you have certain features with it. I mean, he brought in drugs. Witches used to call it pharmakia, so he had the drug come in. There was this new beat, you know, like in the voodoo beat that came in through a lot of the music, never mind what it promoted in lyrics. You had You had, you know, free sex, which is kind of like the pagan feast day of Saturnalia, and on and on and on, free this and free that, rebellion, which the Bible says is as witchcraft. And then it seemed to culminate in, not in the 1960s, but just after the 60s in 1973 with blood sacrifice in the way of Roe v. Wade. So it's interesting how the devil operates and how we have now institutionalized, we have refined all of these evils that came flooding in.
Yeah, and the way it's impacted the church. I mean, you and I as Catholics, I was reading a survey last night that was, indicating that, Catholics, Christians across the country are reflecting the culture in terms of their participation in abortions. It's not necessarily going down. They've accepted it. And part of the challenge that we have here, and I've spoken with many priests about this issue, Michael, is that the priests have been hesitant to talk about it. In the particular diocese that I attend in Florida, the bishop, the head of the diocese here, sent out a bulletin to all the churches in the diocese, speaking out against abortion, and they've been very supportive. And I'm saying, look, this is a start, but this needs to be nationwide. This needs to be an international movement that calls this into account. And this is just one of several issues that people of faith are dealing with. Understanding, when we bring up this issue, this isn't, this isn't meant to be condemning and pointing fingers. We understand this is a problem, and when we are denying the truth, we all pay a price for it. I mean, there is a not only an individual but a corporate consequence, is there not?
That's right. And it's just amazing to me how seldom you hear whether it's priests or ministers, preachers of whatever ilk, discuss the devil and deliverance and casting out evil. It's like they're afraid to broach this issue. They don't want to be looked upon as unscientific and superstitious. And as a result, you'll have a reading from the Bible during a Mass that talks about Jesus casting out a demon. And yet when it comes time for the homily, for the sermon, there'll be nothing said. We need to confront these things. And we won't chase people away by doing that. We'll fill the pews by doing that.
Without a doubt. We've got to go to break. More from Michael Brown after this. Stay with us. You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous 4-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612.
This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable.
Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Okay, fear not. Regardless of what the culture would say, there is an almighty God who cares for you, and he is running towards you. It's kind of like, you know, the conversation I shared with you that I had with Jonathan Cahn, the Messianic rabbi, known, of course, right now for his book Paradigm, which is incredible. It's just been so controversial and creating a lot of, further study. And consideration, I said paradigm, that was the previous one. Oracle is what I'm referring to. We were talking about peace. Michael, you'd appreciate this, because we often say, peace be with you, and, shalom. And what he shared with me, he says, Bill, he says, the idea in the Jewish culture of shalom is God's promise to pursue you with his peace, that there would not be any loose ends. God doesn't want you out there thinking, and I like the idea of loose ends. A former mentor of mine who has since passed away, I used to love that he would say to me, go, Bill, God's peace means no loose ends. And for me, being a type A personality that is juggling lots of things, the idea of not having loose ends, that's pretty doggone comforting, I think.
That's right. Only God can do that for us. We try on a regular basis to present on Spirit Daily stories of miracles that show how God can put everything together, and how the Virgin Mary, how God, how the Holy Spirit can undo knots in our lives, no matter what those knots are, even provide a way out of situations that appear to have no exit. So yeah, I'm all on board with that.
Exactly. Well, let's break it down. Talk about your new book, Lying Wonders: The Strangest Things. And you said earlier there was motivation of why this book could not be written. It had to be written.
Well, it's kind of an update of a book that was written back in the 1950s on strange items from around the world, various things. I mean, I have everything in the book from, demonic places to ghost stories to the strange number 11 to the prophecy, this incredible prophecy from the late 1800s that even mentioned the name Trump and predicted his presidency, to strange numbers and coincidences, UFOs and all this stuff, because there's a common thread, even with arcana like Bigfoot and lake monsters. There's a spiritual undertone that I'm trying to demonstrate with this book, and not in a heavy-handed way. I just present more than 60 different short accounts, true accounts, of the most amazing, strangest things I could find around the world. And you can see the thread if you read closely enough.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned Trump, and I mentioned Jonathan Cahn in his book Oracle. He points to the prophecy of Trump. Break that down. Tell us what your book says.
Well, in this case, we're talking about a series of novels that were written by a lawyer author from the New York City area. His first ones were for kids, but get the title. The titles of the two written for children were Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog, Bulger, and the other one was Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey. But, Bill, where it gets extremely interesting is that this Baron Trump has so many features that are amazing. He travels to Russia in a life-changing journey during which he meets a master of masters, a guy named Don. As a young Baron has a personalized insult for everyone he meets, little man lump, little man all head, flip-flop, and things of that nature, if that rings a bell. And I think one of the most amazing things is that he lives in Castle Trump on Fifth Avenue. Remember, again.
Oh, wow. This is in the 1800s.
In the late 1800s, and it goes on and on from there. And what gets doubly amazing is that later on he wrote a book for adults, a novel, that was called The Last President, in which there are mobs of people, socialists and so forth, gathered around this Castle Trump. In as he puts it, a terrible night for the great city of New York. So it's just really amazing. He, in this novel, even has as one of the cabinet members in this story of The Last President, a guy named Pence.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting, and the title is interesting too. It's called The Last President.
The Last President.
I don't know what to take from that.
Well, interesting. Well, we know in part, we prophesy in part, and it's interesting how some of this comes up. As I say, Jonathan Cahn, in his book, The Oracle, he refers to it a little bit different, not based on these books, but based on, this is the thing. See, you get cultures, you get ideas, spiritual things that come from different angles. In this particular case, the way Jonathan ties it in, it ties in with the Jubilean celebration. So every 50 years, there's a renewal, right, that takes place within the Jewish faith, Catholic faith as well. We believe in the Jubilee. And so what is to happen? But particularly, we know in the Jewish faith what is supposed to happen. And there's renewal, the grand renewal, which is really, it's all pointing to the end of end times in terms of the total renewal of the heavens and the earth. That will be the most spectacular Jubilee and consequence to occur that is yet to be seen. But we see things moving in that trajectory, and interesting how they all come together. Here's somebody who has an idea in the 1800s, starts to share this. Jonathan Cahn looks at it from a spiritual consequence and sees how it relates to Jewish culture.
Yeah, well, as I indicate in my books and on spiritdaily.com, there are signs of the times. We're approaching momentous times. We always have indications out there from nature, from society, and so forth, as well as prophecies, Catholic prophecies, general Christian prophecies, because these are very dynamic times, and we're seeing things move faster and faster. There is what one person called the quickening going on right now, and an intensification. So, yeah, I mean, I believe in it from that angle. I believe in it just looking as a journalist
exactly.
Around. But look at the fires in California. Look at the storms. Look at the very circumstances in every part of the world,
right,
including social upheaval.
Without a doubt. And that we were warned that there would be a time when the love for man would wax cold. And it seems to be waxing more and more so that there would be an abandonment of truth. Wow, have we done that? And also a denial of God. And so we have continued to move in that direction here in a country that had godly founding principles. Most amazing. Let's talk about the number 11. What did you find about 11?
Well, a lot of people claim that every time they look at a clock, they see the number 11. Now, we can go a little bit nearly occultic with that, but It's unusual. Genesis, right from Genesis, it talks about the 11th hour. Mm-hmm. You know, we see in Matthew, mm-hmm. but we see in Genesis where Jacob takes his wife and 11 sons to return to the land of inheritance to get the Jewish prophecies that you were mentioning earlier. But in any case, you know, it is interesting. 9/11. You know, the date of the attack, and 9/11 is an emergency number also.
Right.
September 11th is a 254th day of the year. 2 + 5 + 4 = 11. I don't like to get into too much of that because it can seem like numerology.
Right, exactly.
There are a lot, and that's a cult. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, a lot of coincidences. Flight 11 had, the Pentagon is spelled with 11 letters and so forth. You see, 11, 11, 11, 11. 11
right.
towers not far from St. Ursus Cathedral abroad. A lot of people when they look at the clock and see 11:11, they think it means that we're in the final hour, so to speak. Who knows? And like
right.
I said, got to be careful about not wandering into the occult.
Well, like anything, if it becomes the main focus of your attention, I think it's interesting to categorize and to begin to list these to say, you know, like the brother is Issachar. Is it, what are these signs telling us?
Well, to me, the signs are telling us that because of the sinfulness and darkness of our times, including anger that you referred to, especially on social media, but just the general tenor, whether it's abortion, whether it's killing people, by the way, with toxic chemicals and environmental circumstances, whether it's the flagrant occultism all over the place now, witchcraft on the rise, Christianity on the decline in the United States and in the West in general. And as this occurs, again, we're seeing upset even in nature. It's like nature is reflecting what is going on in a societal way, in a cultural way, in a moral way, and in a spiritual way. And this is something that Jesus himself told us in Matthew 21 and in Matthew 24 that there'd be signs of the times, and mm-hmm. these would include things like earthquakes and so forth. It says
right.
that also in Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're in times like that again, and that we're called to notice when things are unusual around us. And again, that's why we have the Daily News website, to make people aware of how these things tie in spiritually and what's going on spiritually out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I'll tell you, it's something to do more than think about, ladies and gentlemen. We start to look at these signs and you wonder, you know, okay, what is going on? My takeaway on this, Michael, is that God will not be mocked. And what's happening right now is the mockers are being allowed to be on full display, but their date for recompense is sealed. God said that it will happen, and I believe that to be the case. I mean, every promise that he's made so far, he's batting 1,000%. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to fumble one, do you?
It's coming. There's a reckoning coming. There's a
okay.
purification coming.
10 seconds left. SpiritDaily.com. That's where we want to go.
Yeah, that's where we update all the time, and we have various books. I've written 29 on different spiritual topics, including prophecy.
Exactly. And check out his new books, Lying Wonders. Thank you, Michael Brown.
When you have a pain in the neck,
ugh.
A real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes. See Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.